The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And now we step into the Lunchtime Doctor right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. And we'd like to welcome our sister station, Sky 99.5 FM and Sangeet 106.1 FM. Good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
Good afternoon. I am doing great.
And we have a guest here. He's back.
So Dr. Mike is here today. We will be discussing, of course, health, nutrition. We're going to talk about all the different foods today that are required to make our body healthy, and all the negative things about foods that people would like to know. So, of course, while we're talking about a specific topic, you can ask any questions. We have Dr. Mike here as well. So, men, come in, ask your questions, even though it is Women's Wednesday. I mean, of course.
This lovely fun day.
We invade him today. Favorite.
That's why he's late.
Oh, he's gang. He have a partner today. So, So let's outrule them for the time being in solidarity with Ms. Harris.
Yes. But he's also here in the capacity as one of the vice presidents of the Health and Nutrition Association of Trinidad and Tobago. And we will be hosting a health fair on Saturday at Skinners Park from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in collaboration with the San Fernando West constituency and the Honorable Minister Faris Al-Rawi.
In attendance.
Yes. So it is going to be something great. I hope people come out, get your blood pressure checked, get your doctor consultations. You know, everybody always calling in, asking their questions. But now you get to see doctors face to face. So come on out, come see the doctors, ask your questions, get your blood glucose checked. Everything that you can think of in terms of your health, we will be providing.
All right. So let's start off with the like the first main foods that are necessary for
life,
for life and for health, you know, to stay healthy.
So we have a few general classes of foods. We have the carbohydrates, we have the fats, and we have protein, right? And these can be further broken down into other components. So essentially, generally speaking, every human would require some level of fats, some level of carbohydrates, and some level of protein. Now, a lot of the time, sometimes the ratios are what affects people and creates a lot of confusion and all of these things.
All right, so let's start with this question then. What are the basic principles of good nutrition, and why are they so important for overall health?
So in terms of good nutrition, I would say that it is based on balance, variety, and even moderation in some cases. So in terms of balance, that requires consuming the appropriate mixes of everything that Dr. Mike was talking about, you know, the proteins, the fats, the carbohydrates, and that is required to meet our energy needs throughout the day. And in terms of variety, that ensures that we get a broad spectrum of all the micronutrients, the vitamins, the minerals, and even when we're talking about vegetables, greens, and even the protein sources in our diet. You know, yes, some people like to stick to chicken, some people like to stick to fish, but it is important for us to have a variety of these different protein sources. And of course, moderation is going to help prevent any sort of excessive intake of just one food group. So particularly if you have food groups that are very high in sugar or very high in refined carbohydrates, you know, all of these things can become unhealthy if it is in excessive amounts. Things, even these small minerals like salts, you know, we can't have these things excessively because they are going to lead to comorbidities like high blood pressure. So if you are talking about the foundation, you want to talk about the balance and the variety and the moderation, all of these things will provide that foundation of a proper diet. And once you have that foundation, you can have proper support for your immunity, your brain functioning as well, your mental, emotional well-being. It really just encompasses every single aspect of our health.
Mm-hmm. And the next question coming in as we await Base to come in for the Lunchtime Doctor and Betterments with Base. How does nutrition impact our energy levels and mental well-being?
Yeah, definitely. So based on the ratios as well as how much total calories you consume in a day, that will have a major impact on how you function physically and mentally. Because, for example, if you are starving, mm-hmm. you know, you're not going to function as optimally. And then if you are overeating, overindulging, now you may feel sluggish, you know, lethargic. So, and we have a certain term called itis, which, mm-hmm. you know,
I love the edits.
Yeah. So essentially, you know, moderation and balance is key, is very important.
Yeah, I would say that in terms of nutrition, it really is important, not just for our physical well-being, but our mental and emotional well-being as well. So in terms of things like carbohydrates, you know, we tend to see carbs as something negative. You know, a lot of carbs, they do get a negative connotation attached to them because we think that is what is going to make us fat.
Yeah.
And a lot of people tend to think it's the fats as well that is going to make us fat. But if we are consuming the complex carbohydrates, the things like the whole grains and the things like the sweet potatoes, the arrows, the ground provisions that we have here, all of these things will provide a steady release of glucose, which is required for energy throughout the day. So if you are having the proper complex carbohydrates throughout the day, you are going to have steady releases of that glucose, making sure that you maintain your energy levels throughout the day.
Yeah, the main thing you want to avoid is the glucose surge, mm-hmm. which will cause the insulin spike. Mm-hmm. And that is when you end up in difficulties like, you know, the sluggish feeling, the lethargy. Sometimes people eat, you know, all these donuts and whatever, and then after they say, wow, I'm feeling so tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
So you get that rush because when you eat those very simple sugars, the mm-hmm. things like the donuts and the ice cream, you will get that spike of glucose. And yeah, glucose is energy. But mm-hmm. then after a while, because it's not releasing steadily, you're just going to crash.
Right after, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the, like kids' parties, I remember one time going with my daughter and they had these huge cookies, oh. right? She wanted one and I said, no, honey, I like my sanity. It's okay. But there was this parent who had two kids and she gave the cookies on the stick to one child. And she said, you know what, let me take a little bite. And when she took the bite and she realized how sweet it was, she literally took back the two cookies, broke it in half and said, okay, I'm going to give you a piece of this. I cannot give you the whole thing because you're just going to see the children running up and down with that surge of energy.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's, you know, you want to give them so they could tire themselves out and then when they go home, they'll be able to sleep.
Yeah.
But, it's not too healthy.
Not healthy at all. Mm-hmm. And this week, Base and I were talking about the rising rates of type 2 diabetes in children mm-hmm. and obesity in children. Yeah. And it is a result of them consuming all these refined
sugars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're seeing it in schools as well, you know, and it's even in the things that you will not even think to look at. You think juice is healthier than a soda, but when you look at the sugar content of some of these juices out there, it is comparable to that of the soft drinks or even sweeter.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, 20 years ago in primary school, secondary school, mm-hmm. when you look at the composition of the students, you may see two or three obese kids at the most.
Mm-hmm.
Now is a quarter to a third.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's insane.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought up the juices, right? Mm-hmm. Is it better to drink from concentrate or 100% juice? Can you give us a clarification on that?
So in my opinion, both of them are not great.
Oh, okay.
So the whole thing is this with juice, what we need to understand, right? When you are talking about juice in something, in essence, you are concentrating it. So, for example, if you were to juice like some bananas, you know, I saw a guy put 12 bananas.
To get one cup.
And he got one cup. And I'm like, wow. Can you imagine how many calories are in that one little punch?
Yeah.
You understand? Mm-hmm. So the thing with juicing is you have to ask yourself, what are you putting in the juice? And from the time you're dealing with fruits, you most likely going to be over your head in terms of what you require.
Just yesterday, I think somebody asked me if it was okay for diabetics to have oranges and if it's okay to juice them. But the fact of the matter is, in moderation, they can have oranges because it has a low glycemic index. And if you're eating the whole orange, you know, inside the peg, you get all the fiber. But when it comes into the realm of juicing, people like to say that they juice every day and they think that's healthy. The fact of the matter is, you are putting 4 or 5 oranges to get one glass of orange juice as opposed to eating one of the fruits, and you're getting 5 times the amount of sugar from, or the fructose from these fruits.
Yeah, there's a specific drink. I won't call the name. When I looked at this thing, I'm like, wow, this is orange juice, and I'm seeing 76 grams of carbs. I'm like, wow. You know, that is more than, you know, like some of the black soft drinks.
Yeah.
But some people feel like they're drinking orange juice and something healthy because they're seeing orange juice and think it's healthy, but they're not looking into detail.
Exactly. And that's the myth. Yeah. Because orange on its own is healthy. But now you make that into a juice form with 4 or 5 oranges. That's not healthy. You understand? So it's moderation again. You know, if you want to take the orange, you cut it, you could squeeze the juice if you're really looking for juice that bad.
Right.
And then you drink that. That's your juice, pure.
So how do we know what is healthy? I guess this is what the gist of what we're talking about. How would you know what is healthy for us?
Well, so definitely you would have to look at some of the experts to listen to what they have to say about certain topics. You're going to have to do your research because not everything sold as health is necessarily healthy. And that is one of the situations we have found ourselves in, you know, this rapid growth of certain products that are not healthy, and people have been fooled into thinking it's healthy, and then now they overindulge.
Yes.
That's the trick.
Yeah, that's, like I said before, you know, this is the thing with childhood obesity and type 2 diabetes. You know, parents are giving their children a lot of juices to drink, thinking that it is healthier than the soft drinks. But in reality, some of them are completely worse than some of the soft drinks. And I mean, you know, nobody is saying that you cannot have the juice. You can't have, you know, some juice, but giving your children one of this entire bottle of juices to carry to school, you are giving them probably about 4 times the amount of sugar their sugar requirements for the day.
Yeah. What if you buy the juice and you put some water in it? Your water don't need juice. Does that help?
It will help somewhat because you're diluting and the volume will be more, which means every serving will be a little less sugar. So now you have to kind of try to stretch it. So that is an option. Yes.
Okay. All right. So in terms of nutrition, what are some of the common nutrition myths that we'd like to debunk today?
So I think one of the most common myths is that we think all fats are bad. You know, and they are actually healthy fats that are required for our brain health and for our hormone production and, of course, for nutrient absorption. And you get these things from, you know, things like avocado, you know, and nuts and nuts and olive oil. And they are essential for us to function appropriately. It's really when you get into the trans fats and the saturated fats in the processed foods, that is what contributes to a lot of the health issues, not fats as a whole. And a lot of people think the carbs, like we were talking about earlier, they should be avoided entirely. What is your take on that?
So I would say if you are obese, you need to be very cautious with consuming carbs because you end up in this vicious cycle of high insulin levels, which create problems with insulin sensitivity, which promotes fat growth, which worsens the obesity, and it creates a very vicious cycle, as well as cortisol levels going up as well too. So if you are obese, you need to think about trying to reduce the amount of carbs that you take, as well as the carb sources, right? So we want to have, you know, the complex carbohydrates, and that is probably the best thing you could do in regarding carbohydrates and reduce the total amount in general.
Right. Yeah. What is your take on a lot of people thinking that if they eat late at night, they are going to gain weight? Because personally, for me, I don't think it is the timing of when you eat. I think it is the constituent of your meal. So if you're eating a nutrient-dense meal as opposed to one that is lacking a lot of nutrients, that is going to have an impact on your body as opposed to the timing. I mean, I personally think that if I eat a little too close to bedtime, it may disrupt my sleep, even if I have a nutrient-dense meal. Mm-hmm. But in terms of weight gain...
So that is subjective. Now we need to talk about what is happening during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So if this person is eating consistently throughout the day and then eating late at night, as in waking up to eat too, then you could get into some difficulties. Because what happens is... when you that's one of the problem with night workers, because they have this stress response, the cortisol goes up, you affect different hormones in the blood, the ghrelin, the leptin, and now you have a hunger.
Yes.
So now you start to eat for comfort slash stress relief as well too, and that is when you could end up in a situation where, you know, you overindulge. You know, I remember there was a time when I was on call, and I literally ate nearly 3/4 of one of those big Oreo things, you know. Yeah. When you're under stress, these things happen, and we are not immune to certain things.
But yeah.
Yeah, you have to be careful to not let it happen.
Mm-hmm. All right, folks, remember our numbers to call. Even though we're talking about this particular topic, you can message us with any of your questions. We'll take some of your WhatsApp messages in a short while. But feel free to call us up at 625-2257 and WhatsApp us at 3061065. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. Dr. Taylor is joining Dr. Brittany Dean today on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sankit 106.1, and Sky 99.5. Let's take a question here. I want to bring this to the point of the physicians to talk about, and we need to stop the practice of party bags in our schools with all these unhealthy snacks, right? Parents trying to outdo the next one. It's terrible. Oh. A party bag, but no party, right? Inactive kids getting bags of sugar. Well, COVID created this monster that's now today out of hand. Cheaper not to host a party, just send the snacks. It's crazy what parents are doing out there.
Well, I actually didn't know that they stopped doing parties and they're just giving party bags in school, because you know, during my time, which was not long ago, we would have the little party in school, but we would get waters instead of the soft drinks and stuff like that. I'm not too sure what's going on now, but apparently they're getting party bags with only all this candy and these snacks. And if you look at the nutrient content of a lot of snacks nowadays, there are no nutrients in them.
No.
They're absolutely none. You're eating a bag of
snacks.
true.
You're eating a bag of a bag of air, and a lot of them are more negative than positive.
Yeah. And, you know, somebody was saying this thing, we are actually overfed and undernourished. Think about that.
That is serious. All right, let's get another question here coming up on the WhatsApp. Hello.
Good day, doctor. I listen to your show regularly. I just want to know, I am on warfarin, but sometimes 45 milligrams of tablet, sometimes I get a bright pink tablet, and another time I get a palish orange tablet, a pale peach and a bright pink, and it's both as a 45 milligrams of warfarin. Can you advise her?
Mm-hmm. So she's talking about she's on 5 milligrams of warfarin. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear the end, unfortunately.
No, let's play it over.
Yes.
Good day, doctor. I'm still here regularly. I just want to know, I am on warfarin, but sometimes 45 milligrams of tablet, sometimes I get a bright pink tablet, and another time I get a palish orange tablet. Mm. A pale peach and a bright pink, and it's both as a 45 milligrams of warfarin. Can you advise
it? Yeah. So essentially, it's probably just a different brand of the warfarin.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you should have any issues. You know, sometimes different people make the same drug, and that's probably all it is.
Yeah.
All right, let's get a call here. Hello, good afternoon, welcome.
Hi, good day. Doc, so I noticed, right, for me, I've been having like a feeling of food stuck in my throat. I could eat, I could drink, do everything, but at times just feel as if the food stuck inside my throat. I know what you could tell me before my brain go to the latest, the extent of things why I don't want to think.
Okay, so there is something in medicine called dysphagia, where you could have difficulty swallowing. Sometimes it could be for liquids, sometimes for solids. There are different things that can cause this, including some viruses as well as some parasites, as well as sometimes nerve injury. So if it is affecting you in terms of swallowing, I suggest you go and see an ENT doctor, and they would decide if they need to push the tube, the video camera, down the throat and have a look at the throat to see if there's anything blocking it, because sometimes you could have something blocking it, which could be a tumor, mm-hmm. it could be something non-harmful, but it could be something harmful as well too.
Yeah, there are several different things that can give you the same symptom. Mm-hmm. So we can't assess you, unfortunately, over the air. But if you do go and get yourself checked out, they will do a thorough medical history and evaluation. They will look in the throat and decide whether or not, like Dr. Taylor said, they will use a camera to actually view what is going on.
I had a question here. I am having a burning sensation as a female in a private area when she urinates. Can you help?
So more than likely, if you are experiencing burning, you may have had a UTI. UTIs are very common in females, and we've discussed this extensively because our tube is a little shorter than the male. So if you're experiencing burning, it can be a UTI. It may come with other symptoms as well, meaning you may have a foul odor when you're passing urine, or you may even experience a little bit of blood in the urine as well. It can also be the result of a sexually transmitted infection, but I definitely suggest that you go and get yourself assessed. They may give you some antibiotics.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hi, good day. I'm 39 years old, and I saw my period 2 times last month. Is that normal?
So, as you are hitting around the age of menopause, you may get some disruptions in your menstrual cycle. Sometimes you may get your period a little more often, meaning like you said, 2 times in 1 month, or you may even skip over periods. So there will be irregularities in your menstrual cycles leading up to menopause. You usually hit menopause by the age of 45, but you know, some people can experience early menopause as well. So if you got your period 2 times in 1 month, it could be that you are approaching your menopausal years, or there are different things that can disrupt your hormones as well. Be it stress, maybe you started the gym, maybe you stopped the gym. You know, there are several different things in your daily life that can set off your hormones.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, hello, good afternoon.
So, you know the party bags in school, you all, the ladies correctly, very correct, because even in the household, you have that debate too with parents, both parents sometimes, you know, and it's all healthy. And I think if the ministry take a stand on it, it will help, because you're right, it's too much, you're eating, but there's nothing nutrition. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would like to highlight that what I'm seeing in the normal, basic individual normally, there's a lot of young people with mental issues. They are very frustrated because now they can't deal with society, with once it's not going how they would like it to go.
Wow.
And I don't know how they could deal with it, but I think the simple step we will help is for we to, not to just medicate them, but let them go through a process that... to know that it could get better. I think the step to encourage them that you could get better, because you need to have that positive aspect in their life. So you could take it from there, but it is happening every single day. Have a good day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, so what people would need is support systems, support groups, with people who have similar issues as well too. That's one of the good ways. But let's be real. Everything starts from the home. And I could tell you there are cases where mothers are feeding their children sugar water, and these children come to the hospital extremely sick and ill. You know, I'm not sure if you all ever seen some cases in like Africa, where you see some of the children with the belly swollen. This is something that happens here right in the Caribbean. And it's due to malnutrition, and sometimes, you know, people are feeding the children sugar water and some unusual things, you know, they have the alcohol to put them to sleep in the night. So all these things start from home, and if you're not doing the right things from young, well, as you grow up.
But what about some of these formulas? That there are so many different formulas now. Could formulas be you know, detrimental to some children, especially, or you make them, could you make them too strong, or what?
Yeah, well, so as you say, there are different types of formulas, and you have to know when formula is appropriate to use versus not. You know, so certain instances where the mother can't breastfeed and different things like that. But at the end of the day, you know, we always go back to real food in the sense of, you know, puree, some pumpkin, you know, have a balanced diet. And remember, once you liaising with your pediatrician, they're going to tell you which food groups to include. So once you take that advice, the child will grow up properly, you know, the whole nervous system. That is something that needs to develop. So you need proper food. You see, up to the age of like 8, 9, you're looking at extended sleep periods for these children so that the whole neurological system could grow. And anytime you have any sort of derangement from that, that is when, okay, we're going to have some mental issues growing up. We're going to have some immunological issues growing up.
And I also believe that parents should know that they have a big role to play, especially in primary school years. In terms of what your children consume. I personally remember when my sister and I were growing up, we were not allowed to drink soda in school at all. We were not allowed to buy it. We were not allowed to have it anywhere. And that is something that kind of stuck with us. So it will, that is what will develop habits in your children from a young age. And that is the choices they will make when they grow up.
Yeah, one thing I will speak about that I hate to see when I walk outside schools is the snow cone man, the lolly man, every single afternoon. And parents are buying this thing for them, the children, the snow cone with the milk, you know, repeatedly. Some not even hot, but you're buying that snow cone with this condensed milk. And I have been seeing that.
It's like they're compounding the sugar.
It's like you need to ban these things from outside these schools.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in my opinion, these things could be like a treat, right? If you want to say, you know what, fine.
Every day, outside,
not
every day.
No,
every day.
Like every 6 months, you get a nice treat.
Yeah.
6 months.
You know what I mean? You know?
Yeah.
But not every day. As soon as you come out, children running, lining up.
I mean, it's so
dim. And to compound that, you're not doing any sort of physical activity.
Exactly.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it really is terrible. All right, so we turn back to some of our questions, and we got your calls coming up again at 625-2257. And, of course, WhatsApp us at 306-1065. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. So what are some of the health risks associated with consuming too much sugar and processed foods?
So in terms of consuming these foods that are high in sugar and, of course, the high refined carbohydrates, the processed foods, of course, that is going to lead to a variety of different health issues, both immediately and over time. So if you are looking at a high sugar intake, you're definitely looking at something like a risk factor for obesity, as well as for type 2 diabetes, and to compound that, heart disease, because of its impact on the blood glucose and our insulin levels. So if you also have those excessive sugars, while you do have these comorbidities, that is just going to cause a host of different complications of each particular disease.
And, you know, I think that this COVID-19 whole pandemic, it was very instructive, because if you look at what came out of it, specifically related to obesity and diabetes, we have had a surge. Right? In fact, I spoke to a doctor just the other day, and he's telling me that he has pre-diabetes.
Yeah.
You know, a young guy. You understand? So I'm like, okay, everybody was locked down and people in their homes, whatever. So now we are seeing the effects of not being active, right? Not having a proper diet, and you are under extreme stress. And what have we gotten? Increased obesity, increased diabetes, which would later result in increased heart attack, increased stroke, increased amputations, increased blindness, increased kidney failure. These are guaranteed to happen with time if you do not make any sort of change
and,
in your life.
And in addition to that, we now have all these technological advancements because of COVID. So people can now do things via computer, AI, as opposed to actually going out and doing things. So we are less active, and on top of that, we're eating worse. We're not getting nutrient-rich foods, and that is just going to basically compound the effects of all these lifestyle diseases. If we've noticed, there's a big surge in lifestyle diseases as opposed to other diseases because of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah, look at how difficult it was to actually work out. Gyms were closed down, right? You know, I mean, if I didn't have my nice little setup, that would have been very difficult. And I'm sure if anyone listening looks around, they would realize that their friends or their neighbors have put on weight, or themselves have put on weight just because of the COVID. Look at that. Yeah.
A lot of people call it about COVID weight. That was a big thing, COVID weight.
Yeah.
Well, it's
long
still
COVID.
Yeah.
All these things. Yeah, it's very serious.
Yeah, but how can someone build a balanced diet if they have a busy schedule? Like, now people don't cook anymore. People don't have time to cook, you know what I mean? You're going, it's fast food, MSG, you know, all these things, you know. What people eat, all these things that people put in the foods for you, and then it's just unhealthy, but people really don't have time to be cooking anymore, so.
And it's, you know, that's the thing, eh? I always say, you have time for what you want to have time for, you know. If you want to lime, you'll make time to lime. If you want to play, you'll make time to play. If you want to study, you'll make time to study. If you have to work, you'll make time for that. So the first thing I would say is that you have to want it. You know, you have to want to make that change. Otherwise, you'll never have time. Yeah, same thing with working out. You know, there's never enough time. So you have to make that added effort to say, well, okay, you know what? I have to do this. So that's one. The other thing is, okay, very simply put, you have the plate. You divide the plate into a half, right? And one half, you're going to have vegetables. The other half, you split into another half, where one quarter of that half is approximately a fist-sized portion of protein. And the other half, which would be a quarter of the plate, would be your complex carbohydrates. And I guarantee probably not more than 50 people listening would have set up their plate like that. Mm-hmm. Because in our plate, we have the macaroni pie, the potato salad, the rice, and maybe a little bit of peas and a chicken wing. You understand?
There's the Trinidad is mm-hmm. really different and detrimental to our health. Let's take a WhatsApp message.
Hi, good afternoon, doctors. I have two questions. The first one is concerning vaping. And you know that that's a thing that is becoming more popular and is being promoted as something that is safer than smoking. I chatted with a lab to find out if there was any way to trace whether someone is vaping. And I'm talking teenagers. And they said no, that is a very new form of that kind of thing, and they haven't come up with that. Could you confirm that? And is there any way to really confirm if your child or someone around you is vaping? And part B to that, what can we say to them would be the long-term effects? So we know the effects of nicotine. What would be the effects of vaping? What is the damage? And the second part is, if someone is considered pre-diabetic or 6.5 HbA1c, what would that person be able to reverse permanently that situation, those numbers? Thank you so much.
So first of all, in terms of your first question, unfortunately, we don't have the technology or the labs to say whether or not somebody is vaping. The only way we can really tell is if they have experienced lung damage, and you still can't tell whether it's from smoking or from vaping. And in terms of the long-term effects of that, there has been research into vaping that suggests that you can get lung damage in the long term. Yes, it may not be the same effects as smoking, but it is still detrimental to your health.
So mm-hmm. to go further, when we look at smoking and vaping, the theory is this. If you smoke, it is better to vape than smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have never smoked, it is worse to vape than yes. to start smoking, mm-hmm. right? Nicotine actually has some positive benefits on the body. So the issue with the cigarette is not the nicotine, but mm-hmm. the other 100 plus toxins.
Yeah.
And that is what they could actually trace for the tobacco and all these things. Looking at the 6.5 of in terms of the diabetes, the question is, okay, can the person reverse it? Well, okay, is the person on insulin or not? Are they on oral medications or not? It's very difficult to reverse someone who's on insulin.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would say is, for the most part, if somebody is obese and diabetic, if you lose at least 10% of your body weight, it is possible to bring back the sugars in check and potentially reverse that issue of the diabetes. But it is controversial, but there's data to suggest that it can be done. But again, it comes back down to how bad the diabetes is. I mean, if your A1C is 13, you're probably in difficulties. But as you just becoming pletic,
yes.
there is the potential for reversal.
And 6.5% is a diabetic range, not a pre-diabetic range. Mm-hmm. Usually with pre-diabetics, with 5.7 to 6.4%, mm-hmm. you can treat it with lifestyle factors, a proper diet and exercise, and you can potentially reverse that pre-diabetic phase to get a normal sugar reading, something less than 5.7%. But once you reach that diabetic range, it becomes a little more difficult, even though it's that 0.1% off, meaning that your sugar has not been in control for a while. So you are going to have to make a commitment to your diet and exercise.
Right, let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, hi, Doc. It's me again, calling back. I don't have any difficulty eating, drinking, or anything.
It's just like some days it feels like you've something just stopped in your throat.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I mean, it could be due to things like the weather. Are you having some sort of allergic reaction? Are you having some sort of issues with the sinuses as well, too? So you could probably look at that. And sometimes even certain foods could trigger it as well, too. There is an unusual virus going around now. You know, maybe it has to do with the influenza as well, but... there was actually another person who had a similar complaint and also had headaches and body feeling lethargic as well, too.
But in terms of if the feeling has been there for quite a while, even without other symptoms, I do suggest that you go and get yourself checked out by an ENT, because you can have something in your throat without having other symptoms except that lump in the throat.
Mm-hmm. And for the parent too, this sounds like a parent message if their teenager is vaping. I mean, this is your child, your teenager vaping. The vaping is a device, and you're supposed to know what is coming in and out of your home. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't understand why you need a method to find out if they're vaping. If they're vaping, you should know. You as a parent, you should know.
I mean, a lot of teenagers are very good at hiding.
But like I said, it's a device.
Yeah.
It might look like a little pretty square thing. And it comes in all different shapes and forms. But I mean, you
and
should know.
And some of them, I think they have scents. They have, you would smell the watermelon.
You would smell something. Yeah. You know, you would smell something.
You wouldn't smell cigarette smoke, but you will smell the... And usually when people are vaping, even if they have stopped vaping and they come around, they will have this cloud of sweetness.
So, but you might think it's perfume. What is it? You're smelling nice today. But you know you're vaping. So you as a parent should not search their bags or thing or do whatever it is they have to do. Parents need to get back into parenting, the kind of old school parenting that we grew up on. As we need to get our children right now have too much of privileges. They're closing the door. And you know, think too much of privacy and that stuff. Right, so let's get back to parenting and being parents. Agreed, you know, agreed. Right. Of course, 625-2257 and 3061065. You're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor. So, what are the health risks associated with consuming too much sugar and, of course, processed food? But we know diabetes for one, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, diabetes is really the main one that we look at when we are talking about consuming excess sugar. And we've discussed diabetes extensively, especially type 2 diabetes. And just to go through it again, our blood sugar is going to be high because our insulin receptors and our cells are not responding appropriately. And then later on in diabetes, if you leave it unchecked and unmanaged, that is going to lead to a host of different complications. And one of them being heart disease, one of them being kidney disease, eye disease. And we even mentioned diabetes is one of the leading causes of blindness and kidney failure. Mm-hmm. And it is the leading cause of non-traumatic amputations. Mm-hmm. And all of this is coming just from sugar. Mm-hmm. Just sugar. Literally just consuming excess sugar. So really and truly, if we look at it, if we are able to get our diet in check, we can prevent a whole host of complications.
Yeah.
I personally believe... when I used to work in surgery, diabetic feet or diabetics were the number one people coming in for surgery because it has basically a good portion of Trinidad and Tobago. It is very surprising now to not find somebody who does not have diabetes or high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the other thing is now that, okay, you got the wound on the foot, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know you have the wound on the foot, right? Because you're walking, you have no sensation on the bottom of the feet. Mm-hmm. So now you walk on a nail. I've seen it many times.
Yeah.
Somebody stepped on a nail 2 weeks ago, and now the foot is extremely infected. The only reason it came is because the foot's smelling bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you check it out, there's no blood supply, nothing. The foot has to come off. And then now the person is faced with that issue. Well, I don't want the foot to come off. But, and then now the thing ascends. So infection goes up now to the knee, you know, and, you know, if the person has not made a decision, then death ensues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's really sad. What about our nutrition and mental health? Is there any connection there?
Well, generally speaking, the brain...
Because a lot of people tend to think, boys, the foods you're eating now, you know, it's affecting it mentally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it could happen in two ways. One, the brain uses glucose mainly as its fuel. But mm-hmm. for people who are doing like ketogenic diets, there can be some sort of improvement in terms of brain fog and all these different things. Long story short, that is like a very low carbohydrate diet, right? But the other thing in terms of the carbohydrates and the mental state would be that eating all these foods, highly processed, etc., now you're setting up yourself for the obesity and mm-hmm. the diabetes, which now affects your mood because you could have body dysmorphia, mm-hmm. but then also because you are sluggish and you're not able to do things as you would have been previously able to do, mm-hmm. such as running or going hiking, that as well could have an impact on you if you're unable to perform sexually too. That yeah. is another. So we could go down the road with that.
Yeah. It is a vicious cycle, I believe, especially with food. And we have what we call the gut-brain axis mm-hmm. as well. You know, we tend to think of the gut as our second brain. Mm-hmm. So really and truly, the things that we consume in our diet is going to affect the way that we respond to the world as well. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the foods, and like you were saying, if you're eating all these high refined carbohydrates and sugars, that is going to lead to obesity and type 2 diabetes, all of these things. That also has a correlation to depression and anxiety.
Exactly.
And then you're depressed and anxious, so you can't work out. And then it's just a cycle that keeps going on and on and on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, remember you can call us up with any of your medical questions. 625-2257. WhatsApp us at 306-1065. What about as you get older? There's some things nutrition-wise you should increase on or cut out as you get older.
Hmm. So what I would say is when we look at the elderly, you have to be very careful because when you reach a certain age, for those of you who have had elderly patients, you have to deal with your family, etc. You would find that the appetite goes down, right? And because the appetite has gone down now, they're at risk for malnutrition, especially in terms of micronutrients. So now these patients who come to the hospital, they might have low calcium, mm-hmm. which is fatal. They might have low potassium, which is fatal. They might have low sodium, which is fatal. And we could keep going down the road, right? Magnesium. So the key with them is to have a balanced diet in the little that they consume in. Mm-hmm. So it's back to the same thing that I said from before, that same structure. If you are having difficulties, these are the patient population where you could consider blending things and juicing things because now you need concentrated nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon. Hello?
Hello,
good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, hello. We're hardly hearing you, miss. Yeah, speak up a little bit.
I'm over with the radio.
Is okay.
It better now? Is it better?
A little better, yes. Mm-hmm.
Who's the male doctor?
Dr. Mike.
Huh?
Dr. Mike?
Yes.
Who is the pioneer registration with Mukesh Bahuram?
No.
From the doctor's journal.
okay, good program. But, doctor, I need to ask, mm-hmm. when you go to the health center, doesn't the doctor suppose to test your heartbeat?
Test the heartbeat?
For every visit. Instead of just really diabetic tests and pressure?
Not necessarily, to be honest. Generally speaking, a doctor would decide if it's needed for you or not. Especially if you're going to do like a medical, yes, then it's required.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, like in the health center, you see the doctor once, 3 or 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because they're appointments.
Couldn't they take the heart test?
In terms of listening to the heart?
Yeah.
Well, you know, ideally, I would say...
I make a request now because I don't do it, and sometimes when you go, you have so many questions, you forget to ask that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, you see, what happens, remember, is based on patient load and stuff, right? So mm-hmm. it's like, if you have 10 things that could change your life, the doctor may be able to do 9 out of 10 of them, you mm-hmm. know? Because if you have 1,000 patients waiting, he can't do 10 for every patient. Mm-hmm. So it comes, you know, it's case by case, mm-hmm. unfortunately, ma'am.
Yeah, but like I said, she's talking old school. Back in the days, yeah. one of the things the
that
doctor
is
will...
That is
the stethoscope for everything. Stethoscope, yeah. But you know what? If she wants to get her heart checked, she can come to the health fair.
Yeah,
we do have cardiology checkups.
All right, so this that's happening this Saturday?
This Saturday, yes, 9 to 3 at Skinner's Park.
Mm-hmm.
And it is hosted by the Health and Nutrition Association of Trinidad and Tobago in collaboration with the San Fernando West constituency and Honorable Minister Faris Al-Rawi.
All right, so everybody from South Head on Audience is absolutely free. You're getting out screenings for almost everything.
Yes, screening.
Yeah. Nine to three.
Come Beautiful. And get your screenings.
All right. So good afternoon, Doc. Would you have kidney problems if your blood pressure is 189 over 115? And you also suffer from prostate. Wow.
Yes, definitely. And I suggest that you go to your hospital or your health center if your blood pressure reading is that high.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going into the realm of hypertensive emergencies and it can be very fatal in a very short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and yes, kidney problems are a known complication of hypertensives.
All right. So finally, to round it off, what are some of these simple practical steps listeners can take today to improve their diet and overall health?
So I would say, one, you make a plan. So you say, okay, listen, am I going to try to improve my health by adjusting my diet, right? Once you make that decision, say, okay, what do I need to do? The easiest thing I would say is start to take out some of the foods that are not that good, which would be like the highly processed, simple, sugary foods, those type of things. Try to reduce, because you don't necessarily have to cut cold turkey and take out everything immediately. You can do it gradually. So, for example, if you're taking 3 of said product, you go down to 2. That's the first thing. The other thing you want to try to include now, so you want to include more good foods, the complex carbohydrates, in my opinion, a lot of the stuff that comes from the ground in terms of those vegetables are very good. The other issue is 3, you can't eat too much greens, okay. right? Because 1, it has a satiating effect. It fills the belly. The other thing is it's loaded with micronutrients, potassium, good vitamins, right? So try to include more roughage, right? Those are the greens and stuff like that, because you can never eat too much,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're looking at protein now, we want to have lean cuts of meat, right? Ideally, you could take off the skin as well. So we're looking at white meat. So you're looking at chicken breast, turkey breast, fish, right? You can have your beef if you like the beef, but make sure it's a lean cut. You're looking at least 80-20 or 90-10 if you can. That's the ground beef. So that's the protein. And in terms of fats, you want polyunsaturated fats, which will help with your immune function, is going to help with your hormones, is going to help, you know, building muscle if you want to build muscle, and keep the heart healthy as well too, like the omega-3s. Mm-hmm. So now, do you need a fish oil supplement? Okay, you decide. Mm-hmm. And if not, you could have your nuts, have the whole grains.
These love nuts.
Yeah.
Nuts every day.
The nut punch.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Peanut punch and these
no,
things.
No, peanut punch.
I know,
nuts and probably.
We talk about the antioxidants as well, which we can get a lot from in terms of our fruits. Somebody mentioned the other day that we don't really consume the blueberries and the berries here, but I was actually looking at it. And, you know, if we're buying fast foods, if you're buying fast foods for 2 or 3 people, it's about $150 to $200 per day.
Mm-hmm.
It's $200 for a bag of big blueberries, the ones that I have home. Mm-hmm. And that can last you about 2 months.
Yeah, but a box of, you know, the box of dead could fill you up and all the blueberries got for you.
But I can fill you for 2 months.
Yeah. All right, folks, so that's it for our Lunchtime Doctor today. Today, Wednesday already, though.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.